Let's pray. Father God, we lift our lives to you as an offering. We bring our whole selves, our whole beings to you, Almighty God. You are our King. You are King of the universe, Lord. You are the Creator, the Sustainer, the Fulfillment of all. We thank you, Father, for this Advent season, that we can gather to worship you, that we can gather to pause in a special way to reflect upon your graciousness to us, that unto us a son is born. That we, a people walking and living in darkness, Lord, have seen and have received a great light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Lord, it is my prayer that as we continue on in this fourth Sunday of Advent, that you would stir our hearts, that you would renew our faith, that you would draw our minds, our very souls to Jesus, Lord. That the truths which we have heard for so long would wash anew through us, Lord, and bring forth great joy within us, and worship to you, O God. You and you alone are worthy. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been alluded to a few times already this morning. Advent and Christmas can be a strange time. It can be a difficult time. It's one in which the expectation for all of us is that it's going to be the best day of the year, the greatest fun and joy and family and everything good and everything perfect will come about on Christmas. The expectations are set really high on this day. It's that way from when we are children, just a couple years old, it's imprinted in our brains that this is the big day. This is when everything good is to happen. But the reality isn't always that way. In fact, I would say the reality is never that way. Christmas also has a very frequent, strange quality to it that it brings sadness and grief, struggle, sorrow. Whether it's because we're feeling a particular sense of loneliness, whether we're feeling the loss in a new way of loved ones either recently departed or many, many years ago departed, whether we're feeling the press of the consumerism, the buying frenzy that we just can't keep up with or compete, whether we're feeling the frenetic pace of everything going so fast, so quick, and we feel completely overwhelmed by it. Christmas can often bring with it great sorrow. And I think that that's really hard in many ways because we have the expectation of it being the greatest joy, the happiest day of the year, and then the reality can't even come close to it. Been reflecting this week. I wonder if that's just okay. I wonder if that's just going to be part of it, this side of eternity, this side of heaven. That there will, and we continue to pray, that there will be joys, and there will be joyous moments and joyous times, glimpses for us of things to come in heaven. But that there will also be a sorrow, a stress to it. And not to feel such angst or such disappointment or such hopelessness when we experience struggle. When it's hard. That it doesn't surprise, I'm wondering, you know, should it not surprise us? And we just receive that as we receive the times of joy from the Lord. Because I think our true hope isn't in having the perfect day. But if we transfer some of that hope we have that can't be met in this world into where our heart really is hoping, and that's for heaven. And that's for all eternity. And because Jesus was born and went to the cross for us, friends, heaven is certain. It is guaranteed. It is promised from the Lord. And so we can walk, my prayer is, in this time of some joy and some sorrow, in faith, because we know whom we have believed, and He is faithful. Because Jesus, even in the midst of all the struggle, all the challenge, all the difficulty, Jesus is good, and He loves us. Let's take a look this morning at part of that goodness, part of the future promise as we worship Jesus. Please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39, we'll go through verse 55. Luke 1:39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is the one who has believed what the Lord has said to her and will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." This is God's Word. Excuse me. Strong water. Excuse me. It is water, really. This is a really special passage. This is really beautiful. We have this beautiful glimpse into to the fulfillment of God's promise and looking forward to the great joy to come at the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, the unfolding of what has been anticipated for millennia is coming to be right before our eyes. And what a wonderful meeting we have between Elizabeth and Mary here. But it's not an ordinary meeting. It is infused with the Holy Spirit. And we get to experience experience God through this event, this telling of this event here, in such a unique and such a special way. As Mary walks in to Elizabeth's house, we see that Elizabeth praises God. I love it that as soon as Mary hears what's going on, she rushes to go see her sister. She comes into the house, and as soon as she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth feels the baby in her womb. Rejoice. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and even her baby leaps for joy. I mean, could you imagine that experience? See, it must have been so confusing for Elizabeth. I don't know, I've tended to think, oh boy, what a great time this is. Wow, you're the fulfillment, you know, of God's promise for so long. You're so special that God spoke and is giving you a child in your old age, and it's going to be a wonderful servant of God who's going to go before the Lord and announce the coming of the Messiah. Wow, this must be so special for Elizabeth. She must be so happy. It must be the greatest time of the year. I don't know. Her husband is muted during the whole pregnancy. He can't speak as a demonstration that he did not trust the Lord. We see when John is born and they name him that all the friends and family and neighbors, they knew that Zechariah was mute and couldn't talk. He knew that. Elizabeth is going through this pregnancy with her husband not only unable to talk. Now, don't think that's a blessing, some of you. Right? But I know some of you were thinking that. I know. He's not able to talk, and everyone knows it, and so she's kind of going through this alone. She's elderly, which would have enormous challenges for her, too, to be pregnant. As an elder, and yet she praises God in a time that we would think maybe at the first glance would be joyful, I think is probably full of struggle, full of doubt, full of difficulty. And so to have this blessing from God to have her baby leap when Mary comes in and greets her, her response is to praise God. The Lord. Filled with the Holy Spirit, she says in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women," speaking to Mary, "and blessed is the child you will bear." She's aware of the significance on some level of who Jesus is, of who Mary is going to give birth to. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to see me?" She has a grasp, again, on some level, that Jesus is going to be her Lord. We don't fully know how much she understood about that all there, but she knows that Jesus is very special, and it causes her to praise the Lord. And even John in her womb praises the Lord. This special time outside of time. This very, very special worship in the midst of struggle and difficulty, in the midst of the fulfillment of all God has promised. His people have been waiting for thousands of years. And it's here. Many, I'm sure, would have started to doubt God, that he would keep his promises, doubt his presence. This time is very well known for the 400 years that precede God speaking to Zechariah as being a time of silence in biblical prophecy. 400 years, they didn't even have a prophet of the Lord to come and say, "Thus saith the Lord." We're not very good at waiting in general. I don't think, how would we wait for 400 years? And now God has spoken, and Elizabeth offers her praise to God. Then in the rest of our passage, Mary praises God. It's a beautiful song of Mary. Mary's wonderful for us because she's such a challenge in so many ways. We get very fearful that our Catholic neighbors are worshiping Mary. That may happen on some individual level. That's not the official doctrine of the Catholic Church. They do not view her as God at all. They do not worship her. Again, as the official doctrine of the Church. But remember, how did our faith tradition start? We call it the Reformation, right? But what are we? We're Protestants. Where did that word come from? We protest, right? We are so often known for what we don't believe as opposed to what we do believe. And so we get nervous about Mary, and so what do? We just don't even want to talk about her. We just want to ignore her and just drop her out of the picture. Don't even mention Mary. But she's in the Scriptures, and this is truth, right? This is so true that she is mightily blessed of God. God chose this dear, young, unmarried woman to be the one who would bear Jesus. To care for Him as an infant. To walk with Him. To love Him. In this moment when Mary hears from the angel that she's going to have a baby, and it's not going to be through the normal processes, it's going to be from the Holy Spirit, as a young, unwed mother, I don't think her first reaction, necessarily emotional reaction, is, "This is awesome! This is hardship. This is going to be difficult." She believes God. Wow! She trusts Him. She knows that this is God's will, but it's a difficult road that she's going to have to walk. And yet, in the midst of what may at first glance look like it should be joyful, but the reality is probably full of struggle and suffering and difficulty, maybe sorrow, stress, anxiety, she praises the Lord. She praises God. She praises Him, really, it's in three sections here in her song. First, Mary praises God for blessing her, for blessing Mary. Verses 46 to 49 here. It says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Because here's the reason for her rejoicing, for her exalting God. "He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." When I first read that, I think probably in part because of my biases to sometimes downplay Mary, especially when I was first a believer, I first read this passage and go, "Well, that's kind of egotistical, isn't it? Boy, God is so good because, man, I'm special. He made me special." It's not what it says. Actually, it's beautiful. It's the Scriptures, but it's beautiful what she's doing. She is recognizing that God has spoken, that God has blessed her. And she is rejoicing in God for how He has blessed her. Isn't that not the most natural thing in the world, to look at the blessings God has given to us, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of being an unwed mother, scandal in the neighborhood, the difficulty of going to have to travel because of the census while she's pregnant, giving birth in a manger with none of her family around, I won't say no hospitals, but whatever. We need a manger, right? In the midst of all that, she can recognize God's blessing. This is a blessing. And she praises God for it. She's not denying the difficulty. I don't see that in here at all. But she is turning her mind and focusing on the blessing that God has given to her, the blessings that God has done to him. She praises him and recognizes, the end of verse 49, holy is his name. I think it's wonderful for us to count our blessings. Even in the midst of things that are difficult, to look at how God has blessed us. This is a challenge. This challenges me personally. I think I have a tendency to look at the glass as half empty, right? When someone says, "How you doing?" If you're going to answer them honestly, which we don't, right? That's just a way of saying hi. How you doing? Fine. How are you? Fine. Right? That's just a greeting. Maybe you come home from work and your family asks you, how was your day? I think my first tendency is to look at all the challenges, or in general, how you doing? I think of all the bad things come to mind first. But Mary pauses in the midst of things that are difficult in ways that I obviously can't even imagine. And she sees God's blessing, how God has provided for her, how God blesses her, how God is at work and is inviting her into his story. That's awesome when God does that. God didn't need Mary. God could have chosen someone else. But he invites her into the work he is doing, to join with him, really to be a witness to what he's doing. God doesn't need us to share the gospel with our neighbors. He doesn't need us to share the gospel and the good news with the unreached people around the world. But he invites us to. Remember when Cynthia's sister and husband were adopting from China, Amanda, many of you know Amanda, and after all the year-long process of having to do everything, they were in this waiting time period where they were just waiting for the call. And when they got the call, they were going to have to go, get on a plane, but they didn't know if it was going to come this week, a month from now, 6 months from now, no idea. Right? And they lived in Maine at the time. And Cynthia and I were up camping right near their home, where we used to go camping. And while we were there camping, they got the call. And at first, my thinking was, this is great. God has placed us here at the right time, in the right place, so we can go and help them. We're God's answer to prayer, Cynthia and I. We can go and we can be a great support to them. We're going to be the hands and the voice of God. Well, through the whole process of helping them pack and get ready, it dawned on us that we weren't doing a thing. God, it seems, had positioned us at the right place and the right time, not to use us to help, but to have us just sit there and watch God work. He was inviting us to come and just witness. It felt like just because he loved us. Hey, come, just sit here and watch this amazing thing I'm doing of bringing this precious child home to a loving family and bringing her into the family. Just watch what I'm doing. I don't have any jobs for you to do, Scott and Cynthia. I just want you to watch me work. I want you to see my goodness. And it was wonderful. And it was it was absolutely glorious. Sure, we were thinking that we were the answer to someone's prayers, but God was just blessing us. Mary recognizes God's blessing on her. And she worships him. She praises him for it. Next, Mary praises God for blessing other people who fear him, who trust him, who believe in him. Verses 50 to 53. She looks and says, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. She sees God's hand. It's not just that she's saying, I'm the special one and you're not. No, she sees in her moment of struggle, where she's praising God for her, for His blessings, for His goodness, she also is aware of how God has been good to other people. That's pretty cool. How often when we struggle, this is my tendency at least, I become very inwardly focused, and I can't see the people around me as much when I'm going through difficulties. Mary here sees how God is working and blessing other people, not just physically around her as she looks, but she recalls from generation to generation. She knows that this is who God is. He is the one who blesses those who? Those who fear Him. She then goes on to describe how God blesses, cares for, protects those who are humble. And how those who are exalting themselves, He brings down. It's a really powerful and consistent picture of God throughout the Scriptures. That those who try to exalt themselves, look at me, I'm all powerful, look at me, I have such authority, I'm so smart, I have such wealth, I'm so strong. God says, no, you're not. And He brings down. But those whom the world looks on as the lowly, those who God looks on, or who the world looks on as undeserving, unworthy of our attention, God exalts and lifts them up. I really encourage all of us that as we walk about our day and you see someone who doesn't fit in, as you see someone who's homeless, someone who isn't part of the in crowd, especially in a community of affluence, as you see someone who doesn't fit in that way, who we would be very tempted to overlook or not want to talk to or not want to deal with, we just wish they'd go away, to say in our minds, this person is made in the image of God. This person is made in the image of God. Every person that you will meet, that you will see, from the highest in our land to the lowest person who we don't even want to acknowledge, they are made in the image of God, lovingly, tenderly, and worthy of respect and honor, to train our minds to see and acknowledge the image of God in every single person, whether the unborn child or whether the person in a coma, whether the person on the street or the person in the palace, made in the image of God and therefore worthy of honor, love, respect. Those who are humble of heart, God lifts up. The third and final thing, Mary praises God for blessing His people. For God's special blessing on those who love Him and follow Him and are called by Him. And she's full of joy thinking of God and how He cares for His people. Verses 54 and 55. He's helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. He remembers the promises to Abraham and to his descendants. How has He done that? Why is Mary thinking about that right now? Remember, these people are living in an occupied territory. They are not a free people. They are under the Roman government. They are not free in and of themselves, so that when the Romans decide that they're going to have a census and count everybody, Mary and Joseph aren't free to say, you know what, not this month because we're expecting. Can we reschedule that? No, you go. Because those who are over you are in control of you. And God sees this and He promised to set His people free. And now Mary sees with the coming of the Messiah that is going to come through her, God is blessing His people. God is fulfilling His promises. God is keeping His word. Even though it's millennia of struggle, God is faithful. God keeps His promises. God blesses His people. Brothers and sisters, we may struggle and we will struggle here and now in this world. There is sorrow. There's pain. There is hardship. And there is joy. And we praise God for the joy we experience now. And in the midst of the hardship, we remember God is faithful. Remember, Jesus is good. And He is with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never walk away from you. He will never leave you alone. And He is leading you to eternity, to the glorious kingdom of God forever and ever and ever, where there will be no hardship. Your hardship is temporary. Your sorrow will end. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see the fullness of the goodness of God for all eternity. Mary and Elizabeth here praise God. They worship God because of His blessings, because of how He has been good to them, to those who fear Him, to His promises and His people. So I pray and invite us also, regardless of our circumstances, to praise God for His goodness to us. Let's pray. Father God, You are good and You have been good to us. We thank You, Almighty God, that You have sent Jesus, our good, good Savior. I pray, God, You would turn all of our hearts and minds to dwell on, to meditate, to focus, to love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for coming. Thank You that You are coming again. We pray to You in Jesus' name. Amen.